Hello, Stripper Whispers. This is Corey Michaelis with my stand-up comedy tour dates. If you don't want to hear them, hit that fast-forward button 30 seconds twice and rewind 15 seconds once, and that'll be the beginning of the episode. This weekend, February 3rd and 4th, I'm in Kaiser in McMinnville, Oregon. Reach out if you live near there. Portland's pretty close, so you might live in Portland. February 16th, San Antonio. 17th, Dallas. 19th, Austin and Houston, all in one day with my best bud, Andrew Rivers. Check that out. February 24th, my hometown show, everettcomedy.com for tickets to that. And listen to this long episode. Supposed to be episode 2 of the season, but we moved it back because it's so long. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Stripper Whisper, the podcast where we get behind the G-string and interview strippers about their lives outside the clubs, what it's like working in the clubs, and how we can all be good customers in their space. I am Corey Michaelis.
And I'm Nikki.
Today, we are interviewing Felicia from Portland. Say hey, Felicia.
Hi.
Hi, Felicia. Usually it's by Felicia, but hi, Felicia.
Yes, I didn't choose that name well, but that's okay.
Hey, it's not your fault.
That's, you know, an easy way to get out of something. You should be like, okay, bye, Felicia, see you later.
I used to tell people, I'm like, well, you have to say hi first, so
there you go. Fun.
I like the jokes, so we'll talk. Yeah, that's a part of I gotta ask about that today, if you have any like lines that you use and jokes that you use, but there's one. My buddy, his name is he's like, my mom's name is Karen and my name is Chad. So it's been a rough couple years.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you're not getting too far on that one.
Well, the podcast is it's interesting to listen to, but if you before we get started, want to put a face to the voice, check out Felicia on Instagram at the Felicia Fabula and over on our Patreon page at Stripper Whisper. And maybe you want to check out more than Felicia's face. If so, OnlyFans at Felicia Fabula as well. Very excited to have you. I need liquid courage to talk to you lovely
Me
women.
Too. So,
okay. All right. So I have vodka today. We have two, usually I do whiskey.
Ooh.
And we have two interviews today, so
Corey's gonna pace himself.
Vodka is basically water.
Really,
yeah. And Nikki,
I drink wine because I'm a little bit more refined than Corey. I can't do the shots. The first one we were doing, I swear to God, both you and the other girl were drunk. I was like, you guys are going ham on this.
Yeah, we were. You don't have to be professional, it turns out, when you're in your living room and in your underwear talking to strippers.
Do whatever you want.
Well, cheers.
Sweatpants.
Cheers. So
yeah,
cheers.
Yeah, exactly. I also wear a little, headband because I get sweaty because I get nervous. And
that's his look.
That interview you were talking about, she was sweating from her. You got a black t-shirt on, Felicia.
I have a black shirt. I'm good.
Yeah.
No water.
We're good to go.
Wonderful. Well, before we totally get started, we always like to chat about like how we connected. And in this case, we're pretty confident, not 100% certain, that we've never seen each other in person.
That can be better, though.
That we remember.
Yeah.
Me and Nikki were saying,
I can't recall very many comedians that I've met, so
okay, I would have said it because I don't shut up about it.
I was gonna say that's his leading line.
All I have that's going for me, so, or I would have mentioned it for sure. Nikki and I were like, yeah, it's probably good to not be a memorable customer. Yeah. Unless you're memorable for
the wrong reason.
Money.
Well, yeah, in that sense, you're like, I know that guy and that guy's mine. he's nobody else.
True.
Well, I'm not that guy. I am a good customer, but I also comedian. So
I meet a lot of dope people, but
yeah. I would imagine, right? Especially you're in Portland, Oregon.
Yes.
Nikki has worked in Bend.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I'm in Seattle, so we're all kind of that I-5 corridor in the Pacific Northwest. You said you were a PNW gal. Has it been Oregon and Portland the whole time or elsewhere?
Yeah, Oregon, Washington. But I've just worked in Portland. I worked in Salem a little bit during the pandemic. That was fun, a juice bar. So I had to do it with no alcohol. That was a little, it was interesting, but it was good.
A little adjustment.
It was. And then I worked in Vegas and Miami. So those are fun. The energy is always really good, but I'm so comfortable at CASA and it's a fun club. We're freaky. We make good money. So yeah, I'm very thankful to work here.
Is Casa Diablo the one that does the $2 bills? Is that the thing? So is it only $2 bills? How does that go?
They just give you chain $2 bills. You can tip obviously with any amount, ones, 20s, whatever. We like big bills too.
Right, right.
But they give you change.
I was going to say that's a thing there. I've come across men that were like, oh, I was at Casa Diablo last weekend and they have a shit ton of twos. And I'm like, where are you guys getting these from? You know, like, why don't we do that?
Yeah. Marketing scheme and you make more money.
Yeah. Yeah.
They aren't twos, they're nines and tens, Nikki.
Excuse me.
$2 bills.
Please.
We only accept $10 bills. Thank you.
So you grew up in the where ish?
Washington. But like, you know, close to Portland. I live in Portland now, so
like Vancouver,
you know, it's a good place. I love CASA. It's beautiful here, but to be honest, like, it's a fucking dishwasher. Like, it's rainy and dark and cold all the time. So I like to escape from here, but yeah, it is home. So
tell me if you can relate. Like, I always say Seattle's great from May 1st to January 2nd. It's like because holidays, cool, love it, obviously. But like from January 2nd to the end of April, I'm like, I gotta get to Arizona. I gotta get to Vegas. I gotta get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, that's funny though, because I'm total opposite. I grew up in Vegas. I was born and raised there, and I didn't even realize that there were places in the world that like didn't get sun. I was like, I moved to Northern California and it was the same thing. It was like fog 24/7. I was like, what the fuck is going on here? You know, like, where's the sun? Yeah,
good for you. I have to get away. I can only handle it. But like, I was just in Vegas last week working, and the sunshine was amazing, but I was like, oh my God, I'm so lucky. Every time I dance somewhere else, I'm like, I'm so lucky to work at Casa Diablo. One, because I do like two girl shows.
Right.
And people love that and it's good money. Yeah. And two, like, I went to Vegas and I've, you know, gained a little pandemic weight and
they're ruthless. I was gonna ask where you went.
Well, I've been dancing for like 7 years, so it's not like, you know, I have tough skin. It's not a big deal.
Sure.
But I went to Centerfield, went to Crazy Horse 3, and went to Rhino, and I've worked to all of them. And one of the managers at Rhino, he's like, looked at my ID. He's like, how much did you weigh last time you worked here? And I told him. And he's like, how much do you weigh now? And I told him. And he's like, okay. He's like, I'll give you a chance, but you need to lose 10 pounds. So
yeah, they're crazy, you know, there.
Up here. I mean, it's okay. Like, I understand it's competitive, but I was like, no more pizza for me for a while.
What if you would have like said, I don't know, and I don't know.
Like, yeah, I wanted to work there, so I really wanted to work.
Yeah.
You know, there was challenges though. It was interesting just with COVID. It's so different. And you have to take a COVID test like either like once or twice a week, depending on where you work there. And I got a positive test from a rapid test. So I couldn't work for like 2 nights. Then I got my results. It was one night. Then I got my results from the PCR and it was negative because the manager's like, are you sick? I'm like, no, I feel fine. But I couldn't work. And then that last night I got my negative test result. And I was at that point, I was like, fuck it. Like, I'd work 3 nights, couldn't work one. And I was like, my girlfriend was there with me. I was like, let's go and have a nice dinner and have a girl's night. Cause I was just over it.
That's funny. Cause I've ran into the same thing with other girls that So when I started working, I started in Vegas. So you learn a certain mm-hmm. way and you think that that's how it is. And now that I've worked at other clubs, I'm like, fuck, I would never go back and work in Vegas, because it's like, it's that same thing to, in those big clubs, like it's almost like you're just a number to them. And they're like, oh, well, how much mm-hmm. do you weigh today? How much did you weigh the last time? Oh, you need to get right. back to this, like one and done. It's not mm-hmm. even like you can have a conversation yeah. and you're like, hey, I've been in my house for, you know, and it's crazy. And I did the same thing. The last time I went to work in Vegas, I worked for 2 nights, and I usually worked at Crazy Horse 3, and it was fine. Mm-hmm. It was definitely like, I was like, fuck this. Like, there's so much yeah. good food in Vegas that you're like, I'm just going out. Like, I'm just going to go have a good time.
I know. I think, I don't know, I might go dance somewhere else when it gets slow, but in Portland, it's pretty good. Especially like March after tax return season, and then the summer at Costa, it's really good. So
yeah,
I'm just right. excited. I get to eat what I want, and yeah. I can still work. It's not a big deal.
Pacific Northwest summers are unbeatable, and Portland is I mean, just not even in terms of like the clubs, like Portland in general is going to be a bit more welcoming to all different types of yes, folks,
definitely.
Just socially. But what I think, tell me if I'm wrong or help me understand, maybe, like, do you think there's like the reason that, like, how would you explain the reason for so many strip clubs in Portland, or so many different types of women working in those clubs?
I think I read an article, maybe like Oregon Live or something like that, and it was talking about Portland before there were strip clubs, and how there was like a lot of open prostitution. It was like talking about the history of sex work here. And then, you know, girls were getting arrested and things like that. And then they transitioned to strip clubs, and then they were getting arrested. And it was talking about the economy and things like that. So I don't know if I totally understand it, but maybe that's part of it. Why there are so many, I have no idea.
Sure.
But they are kind of like a neighborhood bar here. You know, you go and have a drink, and you see titties and maybe spend a little money. You know, some clubs like the one I work at, it's, you know, a show. It's maybe not as laid back as other ones. But why there are like 100 clubs, I don't know. I mean, good for the people that, you know, it provides a lot of jobs, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But why, I don't know.
Yeah. And it's a, you know, it's
city. So... usually they're kind of grimy, you know?
Yeah. There's a few I've been to where, like, one time I was at one on a Saturday, relatively, you know, 11 o'clock, and someone walked around. They had women walking around with a bucket to almost be like, hey, remember, you're at a strip club. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry.
Definitely.
I was just drinking, BSing with my buddies. Like, yeah, okay, sorry.
Yeah.
I go, I always open the show with a joke where I go, I just say because Portland's like pretty difficult to make fun of. Like, it's so, because it's so weird. Like, what am I going to say?
No,
like,
that's even nothing, mildly, you know,
yeah, like,
you have to be very sensitive here as well, which is sure. Whenever I leave Portland, I forget that I've lived in a very open-minded liberal place.
Yeah.
So you have to be very sensitive. So I can imagine it would be you have to be very delicate about jokes
it,
here. I
mean, it can be,
I guess, but
depending yeah. upon which club and which sort of scene you're in, and like, Harvey's yeah. used to be a comedy club downtown where a lot of people from the suburbs would come in, and those mm-hmm. people, they didn't care as much. Gresham or whatever, right. You know, like, those folks didn't care, but Portland proper for sure. And, but there's like, I don't even know what joke I would tell to try and roast your city. Like, what do you guys have, like a vegan strip club? You're like, yeah, it's in Northwest Portland.
No,
Casa Diablo.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Do you want to go? And you're like, yeah, kind of.
Was that an invitation?
But yeah, one end of the city, Northwest, where you work, is Casa Diablo, and sort of the other end, Southeast, is like Acropolis, which is like steaks.
Yeah,
it is so interesting.
I'm not Acropolis, but next door is Dust Till Dawn, which is Casa Diablo too.
Yeah.
Which, you know, the vegan owner was like, I'm going to put one right next to the steakhouse.
Do you know the story behind that? Why? I mean, was it like, I'm going to go ahead and compete, or like, I mean, obviously, or what? I was curious.
I don't know. I can't speak for him, but I would assume it's kind of like some I mean, he's very passionate about veganism, so I can see him putting it there just because. It's currently closed, but I believe we might be opening up a couple other locations.
Okay.
So those will be fun to check out. I'm not sure on dates and things like that, but
sure.
There'll be more little Casa Diablos.
With the luxury of having like so many different clubs available, is there sometimes when, like when I worked in Vegas, if I wasn't feeling a certain club, you have the luxury to be like, I'm going to go over to this place for another week. Like, is that something that you do there, or is it very much?
You can. Yeah. I mean, you can. I mean, I've worked at different clubs in Portland. Before Casa, I worked at Club 205, which was awesome when I worked there. But it was more strict. Like, you could not come to work because it was a smaller crew of girls.
Right.
I just love Casa. There's flexibility. To be honest, one reason I like it is because I get a 1099 and I am stripping kind of fuels my investments. So it helps. The bank likes to see it on paper. And we get to, you know, I've kind of become lazy since I work there. I do two girl shows. I have a Sawzall with a dildo attachment. So it's like a reciprocating saw that goes like this.
Yeah.
And I use that in my shows and people love it. And like I said, I've become lazy. Like, it's easy to make money. It's fun.
Yeah.
And there's nowhere else I can really do that.
So, yeah. And okay. So then that's another great, like, cause you were talking about the law earlier. Is there nothing in Portland that constitutes against like penetration during a show? Like, what is there? Because with so many clubs, it's like, I work in Bend, which is obviously in Oregon too, but I mean, we're fully nude and alcohol, and like there is absolutely no touching whatsoever. Like, it's as if like the law cracks down, somebody like touches your foot, you know, and we talk about it all the time.
I've heard that one of my girlfriends actually just lives down there, and she was talking about her experience. I know what we do is legal. Penetration can happen between private contractors, the entertainers,
right?
So there's nothing illegal about what we're doing, because it's I mean it might be a gray area where it's like, we're putting on a show, this is art versus calling it porn. But you know, customers aren't allowed to penetrate us. They can watch, we can do lap dances, which are full contact at Casa, but they cannot penetrate us. They can't use a toy on us or anything. So we are following the law. I think a lot of it, go ahead.
I was like a stigma
and the idea of gentlemen's clubs, like, we're a gentleman's club, we don't do this. And it's like, okay.
Yeah. You know?
And that's totally fine if that's where someone is comfortable. Sometimes I tell people where I work and they're like, oh, it's raunchy. And it's like, yeah, but do you watch porn on your phone? Like,
yeah, okay. Exactly. Who's the raunchy one?
To each their own.
Yeah, yeah. I have some of the things about as a patron that I've noticed at Casa that are enjoyable are like that sometimes on stage women will do things to themselves that are like, they'll bring toys on stage. Is that
what's enjoyable? Is the customer Corey? He's like, this girl's bringing a toy on stage.
I mean, kind of, yeah. It's just like, you know, especially if you're in a city where there are a lot of strip clubs and there are a lot of options, and you go, well, this one, you go, yeah, and it's kind of like a little bit more, you know?
Yeah,
it's fun. I mean, I always bring a big purse to work so I can pack my toys in it. And that's, you know, one of my selling points. It's like, and I have these. I got a good compliment from a girl that I work with. She was so sweet. She's like, you know, I told another girl the other day that I've never seen anyone suck a dick and be classy at the same time, or suck a dildo. And I was like, thank you, I'll take that.
Yeah, you're like, is it me?
Deep burning it down my throat.
Yeah, you're like,
no, she was talking about.
I was gonna say it's beautiful. Yeah, exactly.
You're making me blush.
Yeah. So how does that, so in those situations in clubs like that, because those are far less common than say a like normal strip club where you just take your clothes off, is it something you prepare for? So if you go to work with your bag of toys, you're like, oh, okay, I go on stage at this time, and then if there's a big crowd, you decide that this is the time that you're going to bring out the toys? Do you kind of like judge the scene?
That is kind of what I do. It's not really, you know, we're not forced to do it. The owner is actually really cool. And, you know, we can kind of wear whatever we want. We don't even have to wear stripper heels if we don't want to, as long as everything is, you know, not no leather, no animal products. And, you know, he lets us, if we want to do a stripper show, we can. He doesn't force us to, obviously. That would probably be illegal. But it's very welcoming, just like whatever you want to do. And yes, when it's busy, I put on a show. If it's not busy, I'm not, you know,
I was gonna say, yeah, I was gonna say, you're not sucking a dildo, because absolutely not for the one guy that's, you know, like, oh, here's a $2 bill. You're like, fuck you, sir.
No,
you
know?
I don't want to,
but no,
yeah, and I don't want to, you can tell me, shut the fuck up if I ask. I've seen at that club where sometimes a woman from the rack or rail has been brought onto stage.
Yes.
Right. I don't want to.
We do that. No, okay. It's okay. We do that. Well, obviously with their consent, like whenever I do it, I'm always like, do you want to, a lot of times they're very enthusiastic. And then I'm like, hey, like, do you want me to take off all your clothes? Or, you know, we let them do what's comfortable for them. And I try to be very conscious because, you know, I don't want to embarrass them or anything. Sure. But yeah, women love to get up there and dance around the pool and feel like, you know, a superstar for a minute.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. We don't do any like penetration with them or anything like that. But they can get up there and they can take their clothes off if they want.
Yeah.
That's really cool, because I've come across so many women in the strip club that you can tell, it's like a twinkle in their eye and they're like, I wish I could, but you know, who knows what's going on in real life.
Right.
It drains everything. And then like you give them that moment of being like, you're the star right
now.
And you see this, like, it's like almost like a breath of fresh air, because they're really enjoying it. And after you've been dancing for so long, you're like, here I go up on that stage again.
You know, it's like kind of gets old. It's a job. I mean, it's still fun, but it's definitely fun to. I like bringing women in, because I think if I never did this, I would probably feel a little uncomfortable in that kind of setting. So, I mean, I understand it. So it's like, whatever. I have no, you know, I feel totally comfortable. So I like helping women feel comfortable. And if they want to get on stage, by all means.
Yeah. It's, you know, an amateur night is like, even that is like, wow, that's like a lot. That's like for a lot of women. But, you know, oh, I didn't really intend to do that. You know, there can be any sort of like approach to joining on stage. You know, like they could kind of just be like, or I could be like enthusiastic, like you said. And that's still probably one step down from, I got ready, I planned, I'm going to an amateur night. And I invited, you know, whatever, like that's less vulnerable than that. And in stand-up, we like absolutely hate hecklers. We're kind of cunts about it, to be honest. Like we're pretty like
diva-y,
wimpy, like, you know, as a whole, like even someone talking that's enjoying the show and repeating a punchline, like that's hilarious. That's like you and me. We hate them.
You're like, shut up.
Yeah.
It's my turn.
So that said, I wonder if not an entire club, this entire personality of a club, but if there was a show, and there probably exists something like this, where we said, yeah, what if we not welcomed it, but like, what if we took that enthusiastic person and invited them up, not as a challenge, but as like you know, you're not inviting them up like, oh, you think you can do this? Fucking give it a go.
Get the fuck up here.
The attitude that you have is more like, oh my, would you like to join me in this fun endeavor? You know, I wonder if that could work if you promoted a stand-up comedy show where you go, hey, at some point in the show, if you feel compelled, wander on up to the stage and come on, and I'll try and help you. You know, we'll try and be fun and funny together. It's a little harder, but anyway, that is your attitude, right? Your attitude is.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's just to give the customer a good experience, which ultimately just benefits us. So, but yeah, I mean, I think that would be challenging as a comedian. I could see you bringing someone up, making fun of them. But If you need a volunteer, I'll come up and you can.
It's me. Yeah.
Well, there's plenty of. It's not a perfect analogy to what you're doing, but I am curious. Yeah. I wonder if there could be a way to do it, because there's videos out there, there's things out there or stories where you hear like a comedian being like, "Yeah, so I was like, you take the mic and see if you can fucking," and it's like.
Are we 10 here? Like, are we picking on like the person in the audience that's having a good time? You know,
just kick them out.
Be an adult about it.
When you invited me, I was a little nervous because I'm like, I'm not funny at all. I'm pretty serious. And I was like, I'm gonna have to think of like all the funny stories. And then I started listening to the podcast and I was like, okay, this is more of a normal interview.
Yeah, yes. It's definitely, yeah, we're not like okay, you're ready to sit back with a punching bag. Same way in the strip club. I am super serious. Everybody's always like, are you okay? And I was like, it's just my face, like I don't know what to do about it, you know. But you know, once you start like talking and stuff, you're like, oh wait, there are like, you know, kind of funny aspects to the job of stripping that coincide with like comedy, you know, because it's like, you know, our job is you're like up on a pedestal and people definitely are there to critique you.
To that end, it sounds like maybe you don't maybe at this point 5+ years into this club or into stripping total.
Over 5 years at Casa and 7+ in dancing, about 7.
Gotcha. Yeah. And do you with working at Casa, with doing 2 girl shows, with $2 bills plus like I think a little bit more expensive dances than typical, maybe 30-40,
50 for one, and then when you 50. Buy them together they get cheaper unless you're in the champagne room, so they're like 3 for $100, topless half hours 250, champagne hours 500, so it's spendy,
right? So with all of that, do you spend a lot of time hustling on the floor? Or is it like your stage work does the trick, or, you know, like how are you funny on the floor? Do you have lines? How do you do?
So when I go in, I usually have like a partner on stage. So I have like, actually I have 2 girls. One of my first 2 girl show partners is in town. And then one who works with me on classes, here. And tonight me and the girl who lives in Portland will be performing together. We do both. I mean, we make our stage money and we also hustle on the floor and try to sell dances. That's a large part of our earnings there. I mean, I try to work hard. I am really thankful for the place that I work at and the opportunity it's given me. I've worked in the bar there and the owner's really awesome. I ask him questions all the time because I'm like interested in investing in real estate, different things like that. So I just try to work hard and, you know, never take for granted the shifts that I get, you know, because I know when I'm making money, I'm making the money as well. So.
So then what brought you into stripping then? So 7+ years, was it something that, you know, was kind of like, oh shit, I can make a lot of money at that? Or is it kind of like you started it at first and then didn't take it so serious? You know, because there's always like a kind of road to it.
Yes. It's hard to remember what really got me in there. I know when I had friends who were like, you should be a stripper. And I don't remember. I know the day that I went in, like I went into either, actually, I don't remember. It was either Club 205 or Spice. I don't remember which one I auditioned at first, but I auditioned at both in a short time period. Just because I had someone kind of encourage me to, and I had never been in a strip club before. I was 21 and the DJ was like, what's your dancer name? And I was like, I didn't think about that.
I don't know.
And I thought of someone that I knew who was like really beautiful and her name was Felicia, or it was Felicia. And so I said that, but everyone says Felicia, so I just roll with it.
Yeah, exactly.
So I've always gone by this name. So even though people say bye Felicia, everyone in Portland knows me like that. So I just roll.
That's the
it.
Thing about Portland too that's interesting is that you're relatively tight community as far as I can tell. A lot of people, as you know, a lot of people know, like I mention a name and someone goes, oh yeah, that's my friend, or I work with her, or I know her, or I do, you know, whatever. And I guess that's it. The internet, you know,
I think dancing in general is like when you're in a place that's very accepting of it, like somewhere like Portland, it's so easy to network with other people. Cause then even if, say, she goes to one other club and there's maybe only one girl there that she's seen or known, it's really easy to be like, oh, well, I know that girl because I've seen her here. And then it like travels through the grapevine sort of sense, which is really cool when you work in an environment like that, because like then you end up like building all these friendships of people that like understand what your life is kind of like, because it's different, you know. I say the same thing, like I have a few set of friends that I've had like before stripping, but everybody else is after and they're all strippers, because you have to be able to bullshit about it with somebody that's like, oh, I know what you're talking about, some dude licked my asshole last night, that's hilarious. You know, like somebody else doesn't get that.
It's nice to I find that sometimes I feel like I don't always relate to other dancers in certain ways, just with my life goals and where I want to be. But at the same time, all my friends are pretty much dancers also, because it's you know, my hours are different than everyone else. And there's a lot of judgment, is the truth. We're like, ew, you're going to steal my boyfriend or whatever.
Always. It's
like, no, I'm not.
I could, but I'm not going to. Speaking of licking assholes, so do you... with having relatively not loose laws, but there's a lot more freedom to obviously do things in Portland and on stage and in the club than there are in some cities. Seattle is very strict, relatively, but also a city that embraces diversity and or try, you know, it's pretty liberal and progressive, and you have to be careful about a lot of different things. Do those balance each other out so that people don't disrespect you in the club that much? Or is it like, we have pretty loose rules, so a lot of times people do some shit?
No, people aren't respectful.
All right.
No. You know, you need to have your own boundaries. You know, boundaries and thick skin, I think, will get you through, and goals will get you through this, or you know, make your life much easier if you're in this industry. No, people constantly push the limit, and we are fully nude, so there's that. Our dances are two-way contact, which is fine. I mean, I think it's more fun for the customer that way. I personally would just love to have someone rub my feet and get paid, but that doesn't happen
very often. Is that the perfect patron? You're like, listen, you can touch my feet.
Interesting. Who has a foot fetish?
So people constantly push our boundaries. And it's just something you kind of have to accept.
Does your club do a pretty good job of policing and supporting or do you have to do a lot of the like get the fuck out?
We have cameras and we do have great staff. So they are awesome. We give people chances, like, you know, it's a business, it's run like a business, which is great. So you don't want to throw someone out for trying to touch the girl's pussy. So people do get lots of second chances. But you know, you learn to kind of keep people's hands from certain areas and things like that. So you really have to have your own boundaries. Just comes with the territory.
Hand ninja. I remember working at touching clubs, and you're always like, as someone puts their hands up, bam! You beat it in the air, you know, and you're like, let me guide you this way. It's always like a constant. Yes.
Is there anything that a customer has asked or done that like was kind of bizarre, but like didn't cross a boundary for you? You just were like, oh, that's how about that? But sure, I didn't even know that wasn't a boundary until you suggested it.
I have so many stories. Sure, I think a lot of girls have had people like lick their armpits and sniff their armpits. That's always a really weird one for me. I'm always coming. Like, and I'm kind of ticklish, so like if someone wants to like put their face in my armpit, I'm like, ah! Tales. That was interesting. I mean, so one thing I will say that I love about this industry and the club I work at is we're very accepting to all kinds of people. So people have fetishes and kinks, especially with like myself, like I'm open-minded and you're welcome to talk about it and I will accommodate to help you have an awesome experience if I can. But it's always interesting. One time I had a gentleman, a businessman, come in well-dressed, and he ended up telling me that his mommy would only let him come into the club if he had full lingerie on underneath, and I had no idea.
Oh, there you go.
He lifts up his slacks, and he has fishnets underneath, and he pulls up his shirt just a little bit, and he has a full-on corset, and he has panties, and I don't remember if he had a bra or not, which is fine. We did a dance, and it was very kinky, and it was fun. But at the end, the non-consensual part came when he peed himself while I was on his lap.
Oh, no. There's always like, a patch. Like, you're like, it couldn't have been just like a hot dude that was maybe into lingerie.
It wasn't cum.
So close.
Oh no.
Okay. All right, I'm gonna out myself here. I've said it before maybe on the podcast. I actually,
were you the pisser, Corey?
No. No. I was married to my high school sweetheart until 33, and for our last 9 months we essentially weren't together anymore, but we lived in the same space. We were getting along, everything was fine, we just weren't going to be together anymore, and we needed some time to get that all taken care of, just with the logistics and everything. I was on the road, Boise, Idaho has a spearmint rhino. That is, I don't even, maybe topless on stage, maybe, but maybe also pasties at the time.
Pasties? I think possibly. I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah. Now it's topless at the other clubs. They're called Torch 1 and Torch 2, but anyhow, the point is it had been a year and a half since I had, had sex.
I see where this
maybe.
Is going.
Maybe, not quite a year and a half, close. And so I got a dance, and she was very talented, and and I just was like, no, 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 no.
It's too much. I can't hold it. You're like
right at like the drop of the song or the like, and I finished, and right before she was done with the dance, she didn't notice. I felt like this is like, I was so unaware. Like, I'd only had sex with one person my entire life at that point. Oh. I hadn't dated. I knew nothing about, and it was sort of before a lot. It shouldn't be before, but it was before there was as much talk as there is now about like what is okay and what is not okay. And when do you tell people and how do you? And so like, I was feeling so terrible. Like, this is like 7 years, 8 years ago, but recently I was like talking to Elle Stanger, who you may know, stripper writer. And I was like texting her, like, should I even ever admit to this? I feel like an awful. And she's like, well, because I was like, I had done a joke about it on stage, and she's like, maybe don't do that.
Okay. Yeah. She's like,
but yeah, I mean, technically you should probably, you know, that you should have warned or, you know, whatever. And I was like, I know, I just, and she's like, I'm sure. And I was like, I mean, nobody was the wiser. Like, I didn't. And she's like, you're everything. You're fine. Yeah. You're not a person. You're not a piece of shit. But yeah.
Very sweet.
Have you had men be like, hey, you need to stop because I'm going to, have you, how does that, how do you, I mean, I guess it depends on the situation, but general, do you have a way to handle that? Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't bother me, to be honest. I can kind of tell, but if, you know, for some reason I can't, it's always nice if they let me know, because, you know, I prefer not to sit on your wet pants.
Right.
I don't mind if you're going to feel good, and, you know, you'll probably be a repeat customer, and that's fine with me.
If I lived in Boise, I would have gone back every night. Yeah.
You know what's funny too?
I'm very open-minded.
Mm.
in those situations too, I think a lot of men probably, and you can speak to that, are unaware of just how quickly that feeling can come about. Cause you, like, you know, in your situation, I've run across plenty of, you know, virgins in the club that they're like, you know, kind of like going out and like experimenting with themselves and seeing what they like. And I had a similar situation of what you're talking about, Corey, where somebody at the very end, like it happened and it was apparent, but it wasn't like, it's not this like shameful thing, because this, he was just so pent up and it was like, mm-hmm. whatever, the stars aligned and the dance was really hot. And like, I don't even think that he knew that like, it was like about to, you know, I think men have think they have a lot more control over their, over their member than they like to.
Yeah. You know? I think sometimes they know, sometimes they don't. But like I said, I'm open-minded. I think that, you know, feeling good, I think sex and things like that are a commodity. And I think that, you know, I wish, you know, full service and things like that were legalized, because there's people who have disabilities. You know, I've had customers who just aren't socially normal and they would have a really hard time ever meeting a girl or dating. And this is like an opportunity for them to feel loved and cared for and express themselves. And some people do finish during a dance.
Oh yeah.
And you know, I have a family member who has some disabilities, and I don't know if they will be able to like really have a partner. And so I think, not in a weird way, but I think about them, and when I have people who approach me who are on the spectrum or who have disabilities, you know, I'm happy to be able to help them feel good and feel special and loved, because I mean, we all need that, we all crave that affection, you know, touch, you know, someone telling us we're special and that they love us. So
yeah, I it's makes it so interesting to me that people have such a hard time recognizing how typical you are as women, that there's this perception that like, because like I pay for touch all the time, like
I love massages.
I had a massage.
I do too. Yes.
My chiropractor yesterday spent like 25 minutes with me. He got down on his knees next to me to like to do wrist adjustment, and like nothing weird at all. Like it was like there's no
my mind is just going to such a bad place. But yeah.
I was like, ah, face forward, face forward. His assistant was clearly a gay man and really sweet. And it was the first time I'd been to this chiropractor. So it was a funny little, it was a funny scene, because his assistant, they're really good. Like it was insane how good they are. Like his assistant was like, also, we spoke in advance, and his elbow and wrist. And the guy's like, all right, okay, okay. And so he gets down on his knees and he's like going like this with my arm. And I'm like, all right. And the assistant guy's there with his tie and he's gay and with his clipboard. And I'm like, yeah. Very funny.
Yeah. Great perspective.
But I mean, when I had hair, I still love going in and getting a beard trim and getting my head massaged, and I get pedicures and I get massages all the time. I get Thai massages. Sometimes a lot of the Asian massages tend to be very, very lack modesty. They lack, they lack modesty. Yeah. The women climb on your back, and they're, and I'm so fine with all of it. It doesn't bother me. I also am not like excited by it. I mean, some massages, certain people would be great, but. But I guess my point is like this idea that because I happen to also see your nipples, I know there's more in the two clubs that you work in, but that somehow most, I don't know about most, but a lot of strip clubs are way less touch than my chiropractor touched me yesterday. Mm-hmm. And yet somehow you guys are the worst. Like what, how does that, what's up with that?
Oh, that my strip club is the worst? Or that
stripper, I just mean like
the touch of a stripper.
Like, oh my god, and you're like, well, what are we doing?
They're serving a purpose. That's, I mean, that's what it really comes down to. There wouldn't be prostitutes or whatever you want to call it, like if there wasn't a need for it, like, you know, like right. if there was no field of people that need yeah. to pay for companionship, that wouldn't exist, you know, but yeah. there is, you know, and it's,
I mean, it's a, we have a, you know, a history in our country of, you know, founding fathers who were very religious and things like that. You know, I'm very familiar with that because I grew up in a very religious home. So I understand why people still have hesitation because they don't understand it. And because, you know, a lot of people probably think that they're the way they think is right. Maybe it's right for them. So I understand it, you know, eventually sure. I think as time moves on and things progress, it will be less taboo. But I think it'll probably be taboo for a while. And it's okay. Yeah. I'm glad we get to serve the people that we can serve.
So yeah. when okay, so then talking about like taboo and whatnot, so when OnlyFans came out, was that something that you were like, oh, that's a platform that I should get on? Because I, for one, am like on the one side of like, oh, I was a stripper for a while, I didn't want to do OnlyFans because I felt like I was just mm-hmm. like, this is my element and whatnot. But I've heard of many girls that were like, we were waiting for something like this that was gonna digitalize our you know, persona almost.
To be honest, in my view, so before OnlyFans came out, I did like a premium Snapchat.
Uh-huh.
And I've sold videos for a long time. You know, working this industry, guys will be like, I want to see you do this, I want to see you do that. And it's right. a nice little extra income stream, or it can be your full income stream if you work hard enough at it. OnlyFans, I think, is popular and they made a lot of money off of it. I also have one. But the problem with OnlyFans is they don't do any kind of advertising for you. So you
no, they don't.
Working with them, like I like the setup, but you working with them doesn't bring you any followers. You have to do your own advertising. And to be honest, on pretty much all the cam sites and porn sites, you can sell videos as well. So when OnlyFans was about to shut down, or, you know, they said they're going to
yeah, when they were sex saying,
I was like, okay, right. I was like, go for it, because there's so many other sites where you can sell.
Right.
I think a lot of girls don't realize that. So they've just done a really great job at marketing.
They've commercialized it in a way to make yeah. it seem like it's not camming, but it's really camming, just, you know, in a sense, like yeah. it's a popular
platform, and
right.
they're, you know, they're profiting on it and girls are using it. But, you know, if someone were to ask me, you know, do I have any other options, or OnlyFans is going to kick us off, I'd be like, literally go on 50 plus sites where you can sell videos. You can cam, you don't even have to cam. You can just list your videos. I have a Pornhub account and you can sell videos on Pornhub too.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm. It's become the Google of, like, you know, like if Google shut down, I could just ask Jeeves, you know, like ask Jeeves is still a website, I think.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
that still a website? But
I don't know.
So if you was it the pandemic that pushed you toward, or not pushed you, but made you decide to get it at ask.com?
I think it was during the pandemic that I started it, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I had had a premium Snapchat before, so I just kind of like moved to where I was selling all my videos.
Right,
that makes sense. So,
but
go ahead.
I was gonna say, I found these really cool girls on TikTok. I think it's called like the Spicy Accounts, and they will take all your videos and upload it to like all the sites for a monthly fee. So I just contacted them today. Actually, I think I'm gonna do that.
Oh, there you go. They advertise for you and they push it to where it needs to.
Well, they do all the work of uploading and transferring, you know, the files to whatever is accepted to that site. So it's really cool. I'm excited about it.
Oh, wow. That's great. Mm-hmm. And what would people expect? So this has been interesting to me of like following some accounts, just paying attention to the business side, like, some women have made the choice for their model to be a free feed and then a lot of spamming mm-hmm. in the DMs. I don't even want to call it spamming, yeah. but I don't know a better word for it, but
lots of messages, you know,
just lots of messages and
sending them out, the videos.
Some have gone the route of like, So some women don't share anything nude or any self-play or any partner play, mm-hmm. you know, there's lots of, so how did you land on what you decided and have you changed it from the beginning to now? And, you know, maybe sort of why you chose the route you chose and what do people see, you know, and all that kind of stuff, I guess.
Corey wants to know what he's going to See when he subscribes.
I subscribed for a month out of respect.
He did. He did. So you get a little idea of what's on there. Well, like I said, I have been making these videos and things like this for a while. You know, in this environment, you know, it's very sexual. So moving from dancing, which I still do, to making like videos, video requests was pretty easy. I think it probably just started by people being like, can I get a picture? Can I get a video? And then paying for it. And it's like, oh, I can make money off of this. So if you subscribe to my OnlyFans, you will see lots of nudes. I have a little bit of videos in my feeds, different things like that. And then most of my videos I sell are called pay-per-view. So you have to pay to watch them. So those will be like masturbation videos or whatever you request. I mean, I do lots of people request all kinds of weird things, and I try to accommodate up to what I feel comfortable with. I also do boy-girl videos, and then sometimes I'll do girl-girl videos.
Is there anything in particular that's like, that's the bread and butter, like you get a lot of that, like maybe based upon the way you look or the way that like something they may have seen like on your Instagram page? Is it something that comes across a lot, like, oh, can you do this for me, and you see it a lot?
She takes bread and butter and she
I was like, what are you talking about? Corey knows. Wait, he knows what he asked for.
You said bread and butter. I thought it would be funny if it was really bread and butter. Anyway, yes, go ahead.
Well, you're good. If I could get paid to eat in videos, I would totally do that.
Right.
Anyways, my partner content, whether I do boy girl or girl girl videos, is very popular, and then people love to see squirting. It's just guys love it. It's because it's hard to see female. I think it's hard because you can't always see female, you know, ejaculation or like, you know, female orgasm. So when you can see that, guys feel like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, it's the holy grail. They're like, she actually came. She's not faking it.
I have people, it's funny. I have people who analyze my videos and they're like, you almost came at that at the end, or you did it. And I'm like,
you don't know. But... Yeah, exactly.
Are you a good actress? But, you know, are you?
I am working on it. I actually have a customer who's like, I think if you just did this at the end, this would be better. And I'm like, I think people really like to see a finish. So having a good climax is important. So I am working on my acting skills.
Real, dramatic. You're like, and then it's coming, you know? You're like, next thing you know, you're like directing your own porn. You're like, let me drop the shade down.
Yes.
It's funny. You don't have to, obviously this might be too personal, but are the people you partner with in this work people that are is your partners or a partner or
so, and then I some, have, yeah. Yeah, so I have a male partner who's like my life partner, so we do films together, which is fun. And then my girl I do two girl shows with, we've only made maybe one video. We did a video with the dildo in a hotel room one time. And then
Say dildo?
Dildo. So it's a sawzall with a dildo attachment. So I call it a dildo.
Great. Yeah.
And then I just yesterday, me and my friend Katniss, she doesn't live in Oregon anymore, but she comes back here. We made some girl videos. I'm selective because I have a partner, so I'm always like when me and Katniss would do two girl shows, we did full-on like pussy eating, so we would always we would get tested regularly, we'd share, you know, talk about our partners and things like that. So, you know, it's important in any kind of relationship or any kind of when you're sharing fluids, you know, porn stars have to get tested before, so I just try to be safe. So I don't have a lot of partners, but if I were to, you know, choose a new girl, I'd be like, hey, let's both go get tested, make sure we're good, and then we can film.
That seems like a very it's funny because I think that the stigma that comes with strippers or people that do sex work is that you're just like all over the fucking place, like you're like content, you know, and it's like,
yeah,
it's a lot that goes into it before you're just like, yeah, we were here having sex, and there was a camera.
it is a little bit hard because like I've had new girls at the club approach me, and I worked there for a long time, right? you know, I feel like my shows are popular, and they're like, I want to do a show with you. And it's like, I had a girl one time who I was on stage. She's like, well, she's like, you can keep all the money, just like fuck me with it. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but no. It's nothing against her, but it's like, I don't want to give you something, or I don't want to get something. And yeah. You know, I would much prefer to have safe sex. And when you're having sex with a girl, like two girls, I mean, who wants to have sex with a dental dam? Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
I know. But, I was like, that's still,
you know, and no one wants to watch that. No one wants to watch that.
Yeah.
Right. So. Yeah, it's again well documented on the podcast, but in my experience, relative to this, women who strip are much more conscious and conscientious about safe sex than people who are not. The typical population is pretty, it seems to be pretty loose with the, you know, there's a, yeah. There's, I mean, COVID has been an interesting case study in this because there's a lot of people who are like, I don't have it. And you're like, you might.
Yeah.
And also, that's not a shameful thing if you happen to have it. Just let's find out. I don't. I think it's just allergies. And you're like, all right. I think my dick just has an allergy. You know, I don't really.
Don't take it serious. I totally. So in stripping, though, is this.
That's funny.
Is this going to be something, is this like your career? Is it something you plan? You said that you've talked about like future things and whatnot. I know I talk to a lot of girls. I'm a little bit older. So I've definitely, I spent a decent amount of my 20s dancing, just being like, fuck it. I make money. I spend money, you know, and now that I'm older, it's very much, I'm like, okay, we need to figure out what we're putting our money in, you know, and all these things. So is this kind of like a stepping stone, or is it something that you're going to do until you just one day feel like you
can't do it anymore?
You wouldn't believe it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe it, but Nikki is 57 years old.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
looks amazing. Right,
57 year old. what was I going to say? Throughout my dancing career, I've always had other jobs. I still currently do. I don't work for anyone, but I am an Airbnb host. I own like a small little clean business, which I can't wait to close, but I started during COVID,
a few
people working for me. And like I said, if, you know, with girls sometimes will ask me about tax questions and things, and I'm always happy to share. So if there's any like sex workers who want help like making goals and stuff, I've always had goals. While I've been a dancer, I definitely wish I would have saved more. I think we all have, but I bought a house. And as soon as I file my taxes, I'm planning to buy another rental property. So like I said, dancing is awesome because it fuels my investments, and my goal is to be financially free. My goal was by 40, but I kind of think I can do it before. So
yeah, that is the consensus that I find from most dancers who are like, been doing it for long enough to be like, okay, I got through the phase of like, I spent money and I did this and I did that. And then you go on to the next phase of like, okay, how can I get to the next like phase of life by 40? Because that's realistic, you know, by that time you're like, I've had time to have fun, and now I know what I'm doing with money, and I know where to put it and what makes sense. And like real estate is a great thing for more dancers. I would like to see more get into it, because that's the same goals that I have. It's like, well, you get rentals, you put it into things that make sense for our field, you know, but it's definitely, I think that some people don't realize that it's like, it's a career. You do something for, you know, 20 years. It's like, well, that was a fucking career. Okay. Like I did that.
You know, I never planned on doing it this long. And I would say, you know, and then lastly, a couple of years, having a partner who's really supportive helps, because I've had partners who are like, when are you going to stop?
Yeah.
And, you know, my view in this job has changed versus where it's like, I got to figure out something else.
Right.
You know, I felt that way for a while. I went to beauty school. I got my, I'm a licensed esthetician, but I haven't done anything with it. And then COVID came, and just being with someone who's supportive is really nice, because I feel like I'm going to use this money to fuel my investments. You know, he knows that I'm working hard and working toward those things. And, you know, we have trust. So, you know, there's not really any weird issues or pressure, which is really, really nice. So yeah, this is, I'm going to do it until I'm financially free, unless something else happens, but.
It's great. Yeah. Yeah, just because it's not on career day doesn't mean it's not a career.
We all know that it used to be on career day.
I used to teach high school, and we didn't. Yeah, we didn't. It wasn't an option, but neither was comedian. And look at us.
Yeah.
Or a podcaster. Yes.
There's a meme, and there's like a dancer, and it says, "When you realize the stripper pole isn't climbing the stripper pole isn't climbing the corporate ladder."
Hey.
And I was like, "Oh yes."
I like it. Well, that's fun and interesting, and I think that that's cool, because I've had a real tough time as a comedian refinancing or trying to get any sort of loan. They just don't, they're not interested. I literally get a phone, there was a time where I would get a phone call once a week, I'd say, from my current home loan, the people that hold it currently. And they didn't want me to refinance with another lender, right? So they wanted to keep me. So they were offering some really good opportunities because they wanted me to refinance with them. So like no closing costs and that kind of stuff. And every time I was like, yep, let's do it. Let's go. And they were like, great. So it says here you're a teacher. And I was like, nope, used to do that. Now I'm a stand-up comedian. And they're like,
well, to be honest, when you're self-employed, I mean, this is like boring, but you know, you have to have two years of income, and it has to show increasing income. Yes, it will be harder. You have to write, like, I had to write like profit and loss statements and stuff, but currently I'm on two mortgages, like mine and my mom's, so she can keep her house, and it's harder, but you can do it. So don't let, you know, you sometimes it takes time to find lenders and do your research, but you can definitely do it.
Yeah, I'll have to look into it again, like after this next.
Better than having a boss.
Totally. Yeah. No, I love it. I'm my ex wife, who's my really, really good friend. I don't even like calling her my ex-wife, but Aubrey is her name. She is an interior designer. She's very, very talented. Nice. And not like decorator, like designer, like people don't understand the difference, but
there's a big difference.
Yeah.
Yes. Big difference.
Hard finishes, plumbing, electrical. She can remodel an entire home if, you know, and then her current man is I don't know what they call each other, but anyway, he is an architect. And so they're just killing it because they bought the shittiest house on a nice block in North Seattle and flipped it. The neighbors down the street were the ones who bought it because it was this cute gay couple who were like, wow, you did an amazing job, we want to buy it. So they bought it, they moved into they bought the other one on the block, flipped that, flipped another. They're just like, it's absolutely, I don't even want to see, I don't want to go on Zillow and see what they've been making, but I don't have any of that skill, but I'd love to, like, I really would just be like, hey, have some money. And, you know, do you need some money to do another project? Like, have some of mine.
Yeah. Investor. Yeah. I mean, you could totally be an investor too.
Right. So maybe I'll go that route. Your current partner seems very understandable and cool with everything. Is there anything that he's hesitated on and been like, don't do that? Or, come on, what are we doing here? And, you can speak to past partners. It doesn't matter if it's the current partner, but what has been the thing people have been like, eeks, I don't know.
There's definitely been like lots of jealousy and things like that with past partners. You know, and I just, I think if you're in this industry, you should aim to be with someone who is accepting of what you do. And to be honest, my current partner says that, he goes, well, if I don't fuck you, feed you, or finance you and do all of those three, I cannot tell you what to do. And, you know, he's like, well, I do two of them. He's like, he goes, but I don't pay your bills. And so, he also works in this industry as well. So there's a little more understanding. But jealousy is hard. you don't understand it, or if you're just a super jealous person, you probably should not date the stripper. That's it. Right. Or sex worker.
Well, we interview every and all types of people in the industry, from DJs to bouncers to security to male dancers. So if he wants to be interviewed, we'd love to interview him.
Yeah, that's great. I'll ask.
Hey, please do. Yeah. Totally. You can lie and tell him it was a good time and all that shit. what did you have as your drink? Because we'll do one more cheers and then we'll call it an interview, well, I think.
Mine is empty, but it was a tequila. I put it on the rocks, a little water, and I didn't have lime, so I put some lemon in there. It was fine.
There you go.
Well, cheers. Thank you.
Cheers
so much.
Again.
Cheers. Yeah, thank you for your time. Again. It was fun. Nice meeting you guys.
You're great.
Nice to meet you. Maybe we'll see you. I'll have to come and see. I want to come see Casa Diablo. I heard some.
Totally.
Sure.
Yeah.
On it. On Instagram, she is the Felicia Fabula, and on OnlyFans, Felicia Fabula. Nikki is it? She is tattooed. Yes. I'm Corey Michaelis, comedy on all the things, and the podcast is at Stripper Podcast. Because Whisper might have been too. I don't know why I chose that. Doesn't matter. That's what it is.
The podcast is good. It's like they can. Yeah. I see people trying to spell Whisper, and it doesn't go too well.
Well, I think I wanted to take just like the like two like yeah whatever. That's the thing with my last name is people are so confused, and there's this little kid who sells cookies, and he has he is Mr. Corey's Cookies.
Yeah.
Oh, cute.
I for a while was Mr. Corey Michaelis because I used to teach, and I thought that was like a fun, clever way to, but he was just killing me.
They were like, oh, we got to Mr. Corey. And we
literally, he would be every time people go, is this you? And I'm like, no, I'm not a 13-year-old light skinned black boy selling cookies on the internet. No, I'm the second one. And so I had to change it. But
oh, that's funny.
Cheers, and thanks for doing this. We'll let you know when we're going to release it.
Yeah.
Perfect. Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Have a good day.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.